All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. You're here. Me too. Okay, so earlier this summer, well, actually, a couple of months ago, we went to go visit some grandkids over in Colorado, and we have 9 grandkids. We have 2 boys who are in college or college age. We have 3 girl granddaughters who are college or college age or almost college age. I have 1 sixth grade girl, and then 3 little boys under 3 years old. Yeah. So we kind of got out of the little kids, and now we are there. Well, while we were there, one of the grand boys introduced us to this little character named Bluey. Has anybody ever heard of Bluey? Oh, you got little kids, don't you? All right, so Bluey is a sweet little cartoon Australian Shepherd dog. So she's got a little accent, and she has a dad whose name is Bandit. She has a mum whose name is Chili, and she has a baby sister named Bingo. And together with the family, they go on different adventures, and they learn life lessons, and it's a cute little thing, and there's a lot of episodes. I mean, a lot. All right, so when I got home, since I had never heard of Bluey, I want to investigate this thing. How could something so popular pass me by? I had no clue what Bluey was or anything associated with her, because she's a little girl. So guess what I found? I found, at least searching online, that there are Bluey t-shirts, nightlights, backpacks, hoodies, tennis shoes, action figures, plush toys, croc shoes, bedding. You can get a Bluey playmat, musical toy, tote bag, tent, poster, stickers, blanket, beach towel, and they even had a Bluey gnome. I should have investigated that more. And they have an optical illusion lamp. And this is so cool. It's a nightlight, but it's like a hologram of Bluey that is cast above the nightlight. It was really cool. All right, so I brought some Bluey things to give away tonight. Raise your hand if you have your own child 4 or under. Oh, you would be at home getting the kids in bed. Anybody have grandkids? All right. Steve, why don't you go take these to anybody who is affiliated with Bluey? Okay? We've got a Bluey book that's called The Pool, and we got some Bluey stickers. Thank you. Okay. I found these. One was on Amazon, but I saw other lots of things over at Hobby Lobby. And I am a verified Hobby Lobby shopper. And I had never even noticed Bluey. All right. So good luck. No, you're going to give it out to somebody. All right. So my grandson's father also sent me pictures of things, toys that this said grandchild has. All right, there's Bluey in his Jeep, Outback Jeep. He's got his surfboards hooked on the top and a beautiful little fifth wheel. And with the fifth wheel, you have a little pop-out kitchen, and then you can pop out an extra bedroom on top. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? Wouldn't you want that if you were a little kid? A little Bluey patron. And there's a granny. And so granny is sitting on the bench waiting for the bus to come. I don't know the significance of the bird. I think it's a kiwi because it's Australian. And Bluey has a beach house. In the beach house, you can see Bluey in the little jet ski. All right, so Bluey was awesome. So my question is, why did I not know about Bluey? There were Bluey t-shirts out there. I didn't know that. There were Bluey blankets. There were Bluey fifth wheelers, for Pete's sakes. There were Bluey's Jeep and Bluey's granny. I would have, you know, identified with that. There's Bluey's beach house. I didn't know any of that was there. It was there in front of me. I did not see it. So that kind of raised the question, okay, it's almost like what we are doing as Christians. There are signs all around us that Jesus is coming back, but we're la 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 and la 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 la. So we don't see that Jesus is coming. Maybe we hear of wars and rumors of wars and lawlessness. Maybe we see that the love of many is growing cold. Those signs are right before us, and we need to be rapture ready. So maybe some Christians are not understanding that we are in the last days right now, and things are about to change, and we need to know about that. So what I would encourage us to do is be looking for Bluey, but be looking for Jesus to come. And Bluey is going to last for a moment, but Christ is going to last for a lifetime. Amen? All right. But you're here tonight because you don't care about Bluey. You care more about Jesus. All right, so last time, whoa, that is way out there. Last time we saw God's throne. No, we did not see God's throne. Last time we discovered that the book of Revelation is really about what?
Jesus.
It's the unveiling of Jesus. We saw him as a baby in a manger when he was born. This is Jesus coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the book of Revelation is the prophecy of Jesus coming again. We also saw that Revelation was very relevant for things that are going on today. We looked at wars, rumors of wars. We looked at lawlessness. We looked at what else? At what? Pestilence. Mm-hmm. What was that? Nation against nation. We looked at a whole list of things. Remember, we looked at three of the Olivet Discourses, and we read the things that Jesus said. When you see these things begin to happen, look up, because he's coming. All right, so that's what we looked at last week. Also, we learned that when you read the book of Revelation, you will be blessed. If you read it and hear it, we'll be blessed. We didn't talk about what kind of blessings, though, there were. Can you think of a way that you would be blessed if you read the book of Revelation? What could be a blessing? Yeah? Knowing? Oh. Not be fearful. A sense of urgency, absolutely. A calm? Did somebody say that? Confidence in Christ. Yes, because you see the end picture. There's a lot of people are just, you know, coming up. They don't know anything about the book of Revelation. And you open it up and you open to the chapter and there are beasts coming out of the water. And there's like 10 horned or 10 headed things. Yes. Creatures, monsters. And you say, whoa. And you close it up and that's it. But if you dig in there and you realize that God is telling us something wonderful, something very special, and we will be blessed by it because we will know what's coming and we can share with others. That's how we can be blessed. And then we took a look at the rapture of the church and learned that no one knows when the time is going to be of the rapture, but it will happen. And what was the rapture again? What did that mean, the word rapture? Catching away. All right, and when was that going to happen? Good. We don't know. We don't know. And that's the only thing we can we can all agree to. We don't know when the time is going to come, but we do know that in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last moment that the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord. And that's supposed to give us hope, and indeed it does. All right, so that's what we went over last week. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into what we're going to do this week. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have told us ahead of time what's coming and what we need to know. And Lord, tonight, as we look at the first set of judgments and some other things, Lord, I pray, God, that you would open our hearts so that we will see that you know the beginning from the end. There's nothing that is there to frighten us or harm us. Lord, we just need to see you in it. And thank you, Father, that we're going to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, where are we? All right, so tonight we are going to look at God's throne room. We're going to look at he who is worthy to open the scroll. We're going to look at the seven judgments, seals, the horsemen and those left behind, 144,000 evangelists, and two really powerful old guys. So tonight we're going to go through chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, some of chapter 8 and 11. All right, we're going to talk about a tribulation. So what is the tribulation? 7 years. 7 years. Yay. 7 years long. It's what? God's wrath, okay, but it's also seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments, and those are different sets of judgments that God is going to pour out on the world, and each one's going to get a little bit longer and harder than the others. And it, from the moment the tribulation starts, you can count out 7 years, and that will be the day that Jesus returns with his saints for the Battle of Armageddon. So the tribulation is a definite time period. We don't know when the tribulation is going to start. I errantly used to think that the tribulation would come as soon as the rapture happened, but that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that the Antichrist will sign a peace treaty with Israel, and then that will start the seven-year period. So we don't know. It could happen instantaneously. There could be a little bit of time in there. So the tribulation. The number seven is going to appear a lot in the book of Revelation. And seven just means it's the number of completion. Like when Jesus or God was making the world, he made it in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And there's a lot of sevens in the book. All right, so the number of completion. So after hearing John, after he heard what Jesus was saying to the seven churches, which we did not go in just because we have to cut down some things, that he saw the door open in heaven, and he heard a voice saying, "Come up." So when he hears that, "Come up," he immediately is in the throne room of God. And what a beautiful picture of a rapture that is, too. John's down on the earth. He hears a voice that says, "Come up," and he's immediately in the throne room of God. So in the throne room, he sees God seated on his throne, and God looks like precious jewels. It says precious jewels. And then behind the throne is a rainbow, and it's not, I thought it was interesting, there's not all the colors of the rainbow that we would see now. It's a rainbow that looks like an emerald. So I would imagine that as different shades of green. So the rainbow looked like an emerald. He saw 24 elders wearing bright white linen clothes, and they each had a crown, and they were taking their crowns and throwing them down before God's throne. He heard four different creatures, which, if we got in reading to them, they are unlike any other creatures you've ever seen or heard of. But these four living creatures were ones that their whole job was to stand before the throne and sing, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord." and just sing worship songs. So they were created to worship God day and night. If there's time in heaven, it would be, 24/7. But I don't think there's time in heaven. He hears lightnings and thunders. And something interesting, it says that every creature in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth starts to worship God. Let's go back. Okay. So in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, every creature will worship the Lord. That's pretty cool. Does that mean the animals? Does it mean just the people? I mean, it's something to think about. I don't know what it means, but all I know is very all-encompassing. It's like every living thing is going to be praising the Lord. So one of the things that John sees God has in his hand is a scroll. And a scroll was a piece of parchment, most likely. They didn't have books in those days, so they wrote on parchment. And the seal was written on one side and on the other side, so front and back. And it was tied up, and it was sealed with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, guess the number, seven seals. And the question goes out, who is worthy to open the scroll? And the sad thing was that no one was worthy. So there was something so special about this scroll that nobody could touch it. So they're looking for somebody to open the scroll. And then John saw a lamb. And it looked like a lamb that had been killed. Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." John 1:29 says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him," this is John the Baptist, "and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" So he's pointing out to his disciples, look, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Then also in Revelation 13:8, it says, "All who dwelled on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Now, this him should not be a capitalized him because they're talking about the Antichrist. So what I want to bring out here is there is a book of the Lamb that's called the Book of Life. There's also in Revelation 19:9, it says, "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb,'" which is Jesus. "And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.' And again, music broke out and the song says, 'You were worthy to open the scroll.'" So there's the worship in heaven is the Lamb of God is the only one who could open the scroll. And why? Because he was without sins, he died for the sins of the world, and he was the only one who could open it. So there's a beautiful song that we're going to listen to now. It's called, "Is He Worthy?" So listen to the, I think we have the words up here. All right, so let's hear the song.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made There's a new creation coming.
Yes.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
Yes.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Christ is the only one who is worthy. He died for the sins of the world. He is the only one who could open the scroll. So let's talk about the scroll for a minute. There we are, worthy. So he was worthy, and every creature in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, worship the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine that? How is that going to sound? It's going to be amazing. All right, so Jesus is the Lamb of God. All right, seven seals is coming. All right. It's very interesting because I learned this week that a king, an emperor, somebody who had a lot of property and wanted to write a will and testament would write it on a scroll. He would gather seven of his closest advisors or friends. And, you know, in those days they had, this is my seal, has a D on it. They wore rings that had seals that they, you know, put some wax on it and then seal it. So they would take seven of their closest friends or people that they trusted, and they would witness what was written. They witnessed rolling up the scroll. They would put a band around it, and they would put their seal on it. So seven seals. How many churches were there in the first? What if those seven churches were in heaven right now, and they were witnessing the seals? That's not scriptural, but that's cool to think about. I don't want to be struck down by saying that that is absolute. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven seals. So God has seen that man's heart is hard, and there needs to start having some judgments. God said that he would not always wrestle with men. There comes a time that God is going to start punishing the world for the bad things that have happened. And if you look around today, there's a ton of bad things that are happening right now. And so his first set of judgments are ready to be opened. And of course, Jesus is handed the scroll. He takes off the first seal. And the first seal John sees is a white horse appears. The white horse has a rider. The rider has a bow, no arrows, but has a bow. And he goes forth to conquer, and he goes forth conquering and to conquer. So that is the introduction of the Antichrist. Anti means against Christ. So an Antichrist is a person who's going to rise up from the masses, and he's going to be against Christ. Remember, the world is going to be in chaos. When that rapture happens, there's going to be chaos everywhere, not only on the roads, not only in the air. I mean, just imagine if, you know, what did we say last week? It was like 32 million something Christians probably would leave the earth. So a lot of destruction is going on, and they will be looking for someone to help them. The first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is not going to be the ugly guy in charge, but he's going to rise up through the ranks. He's going to be gaining respect. He's going to be gaining, what do you call it when people are drawn to you? What's that word? Charismatic, that's it. He has this charisma about him. All right, so he will be uniting folks, but he's not going to come to main power until a little bit later. But what is going to happen with him at this point is he will sign a peace agreement with Israel, or he will confirm an agreement. There are several things that could happen. It could be the war of Gog and Magog, which is found in Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's also another battle that hasn't taken place yet, probably Psalm 83. So somewhere we know that there's going to be a war. Okay, we know that too because the second seal is a red horse, and the red horse comes and brings war. So John sees a fiery red horse. The rider can take peace from the world. And many people will kill each other, and he's given a large sword. So war breaks out. Okay, so not only have you lost a lot of loved ones through the rapture, now there's a war. The third seal that John sees, Jesus takes off, and it's a black horse. And the black horse represents famine or a food shortage. This is where it says that, you know, a loaf of bread will cost a day's wage. So it makes sense that you have war and you have lost food because the countries are not going to be producing food because they're at war with one another. And it represents also economic collapse. When Jesus opens the fourth seal, he sees a pale horse. And the word pale has its form in the word chloroform. You know, so it's that greenish tint to it. So it's not a white horse. It's a greenish color horse. And that horse is followed by death and Hades. So you've had war, you've had famine, and of course, death is going to follow that. So the black horse or the pale horse, has the power to kill a fourth of the population. So just, okay, seal four, fourth of the population, fourth of the remaining population. Okay, take out the people who've already been raptured. So a fourth of the population is killed. So that's about 1,360,000 dead. That's a lot of people. And he's going to be killing these people by a sword and by wild animals, it says. So something happens to the ecosystem, whether they are domesticated animals that are starving now, who knows? But you should read it. The verse says that he kills by the sword and wild beasts. I don't want to be around for that, personally. All right, so we started with 8 billion people. We're down to about 4 billion people left on the earth at this point. So again, the four seals these are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You've probably heard that term. So we have the white horse, which represents the Antichrist. The fiery red horse represents war. We have the black horse that represents famine, and the pale horse that's followed by death and Hades. Hades is a place where dead people go who do not know the Lord. All right. And then we turn the corner and we come into the fifth seal. The fifth seal, John sees people who have been killed asking God, how long, O Lord? Okay, so in the throne room, you have the throne, and it talks about a sea of glass around the throne. And that would be kind of like a see-through glass floor, so to speak. So John is on top, but he sees underneath the glass that there are people, the souls of people, that are saying, how long until you avenge us, God? So these people are told, you have to wait a little bit longer until everybody has been gathered together who's going to be in this group. So these people are ones that did not go in the rapture. They were left behind, and they have come to the Lord. So that's who those people are. And then John sees a sixth seal. And on the sixth seal, there's a huge earthquake. Now I'm going to read this. This is what the great earthquake brings. The sun became black, the moon became blood, stars fell to earth, the sky split apart like a scroll. Every mountain was moved, every island was moved. Men hid in caves for fear. They realized this was God's wrath, and they recognized that God did it, but they're hiding. Okay, so let's just think about that for a minute. The sun became black. Would you be afraid? Okay, it could be an eclipse. It could be a volcanic stuff with all this earth shaking, you know, the ash is up. I mean, we don't know. God doesn't say how he's going to do it. He just says that the sun became black and the moon became red. That could be volcanic ash too, you know, makes it look red. Stars fell to earth. Does that mean a meteor showers? Asteroids? I mean, I don't know that it would be literal stars. That'd be pretty big. Sort of like, because stars are suns. The sky split like a scroll. I have no idea what that would look like, but somehow it's going to roll up like a scroll. Every mountain moved. I have to tell you this. 2 days ago, I was working on another lesson, and on my news feed in Switzerland, anybody hear this? In Switzerland, one of the mountaintops collapsed and fell down into the valley. Did any of you see that? Maybe it was fake news. No, it showed a picture of it. It wasn't the Alps, but it was another mountain. And the top of it just fell down. Okay, so if they can fall down on their own, just think what God can do when he's shaking the world. That'd be pretty awesome. So it says that every mountain was moved, every island was moved. That could be tsunamis, you know, coming up. And men hid in people are going to caves instead of saying, God, I am sorry. You know, you're God. I recognize you. They're hiding from God. Can you hide from God? No, nobody can hide from God. God knows what they're where they are at. That just cracks me up. Hiding from God. And then the seventh seal, there is silence in heaven for a half hour. And each time you come to the seventh, whether it's the seal judgment or the trumpet judgment or the bowl judgment, they're stop for a moment and they're getting ready for the next series. So the seventh seal is silence in heaven. And so now we want to turn our attention to those who are left behind. What is going to happen to the people who have not accepted the Lord, who were not ready for the Lord to come? Maybe they weren't looking for Bluey, right? They were just looking at something else. So what happens to the Christians who are left behind? You know that not all who say that they're Christians will be raptured, right? If you go to church, I go to church. I should be raptured. No, church does not save you. Good works. You're such a good person. Of course you're going to go to heaven. No, that's not what the scripture says. Good works or being good is not going to save you. Baptism is not going to save you. Oh my gosh, I need to get baptized. Well, yes, you do, to follow and obey what the Lord says. But baptism in itself does not save you. And hearing the gospel, if you come to church and go in and hear Pastor Bill or Pastor Jeff or Shaddy, just hearing them is not going to save you. You must be born again. So what does that mean? Yes, we have to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I believe that you came to die for me. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Now you're a Christian. All those other things. Oh, look what it says in John 3:3. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this born again thing is a pretty important thing to do. So do these people have any hope? If you're left behind, is there any hope? Yes. What is the hope? Yes. Come to the Lord. The Lord is making a way right now. All right. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God wants all those, 4 billion something people left on the earth, he wants them to come to him because he loves them. He died for each one of those people. Whether they love him or not, he still died for them. If the person becomes a Christian after the rapture, it's going to be very, very difficult because Revelation 20, verse 4 says that they will be martyred, and the way that they'll be martyred is they will be beheaded. So God's still giving a way to get to heaven, but you will pay. You don't want to be in that bunch. Man always has a free will, don't they? Isn't that what God is? He wants us to come. He wants us to come to Jesus. So in the quiet of your home tonight, I challenge you to consider, if a rapture happened tonight, would you be ready? Would you be rapture ready? Would your friends be rapture ready? Would your family be rapture ready? So what can you do let's say, best case scenario, all of us were raptured. What did we leave behind to share with other people, to share with our family who's not coming? Did we do anything? Steve? Steve's mom and dad. Steve, well, he'll tell the story. He has something awesome. Please, come.
Well, first of all, thank you, ladies, for letting us guys crash your party. Truly appreciate that. And I truly want to thank my previous Sunday school director for doing these. I'm a guy, you know, visual. Yeah, that's how I learn. So thank you for that. But something that's incredible, I have to explain it because she gave me 23 seconds. I might fudge. My mother and my wife, my father and my wife's mother put this together. And you say, how could that be? Well, my mother died years before. Her father left the family years before. And my father married my mother-in-law. You get that? It's legal. And now my wife is my stepsister. Okay. They had a heart for the Lord. They wouldn't quit. And early on in the late 70s, if I recall, my dad and her mama put a rapture box together for all those who would be left behind. And let me explain to you. It's slightly dated, but it's full of cassettes that were from the ministry Word for Today through Maranatha Ministries and all that. And it has all the instructions in this convenient box. Obviously, it says right here. There it is. Yeah, look at that. There they go. That's okay. Right here it says, Rapture Box. We are with Jesus. It is not too late for you. Open the box and read the contents. God loves you. Now, what we have in here is Revelation tapes, and what's also kind of cool, two Bibles. I think one is a concordance, but anyways, hang on. There. And a type. Remember typewriters? Okay. And it's yellowed. I won't read it. But it has full instructions on not only what has happened, but how it's not too late for you. And it gives you the sequence, the tape numbers. So find a cassette player someplace. Get like an 85 Toyota. Has the tape numbers in the sequence. And at the very end, if you turn the page, I like this part, it gives you what to say and what to pray and know that you are sealed and you are saved. And the very last of it says, please feed Oreo, our black cat. Her food is under the sink. Also, don't forget about Samson, our large turtle. He lives under the shed in the backyard. But anyways, but our parents were convinced that the rapture was going to happen before they died. And I think that's a great way to live. But this box has all the ingredients. We need to update it to, what would it be, CDs? I don't know, whatever. Yeah, flash drives, thumb drives. But I tell you what, Chuck Smith taught from the time we became believers that it was imminent. And we would go home after studying and going, or being there and going, should we even have children, you know? And our parents felt the very same way. But I think the immediacy and the urgency and the relevance for today, now more than ever, these tapes will speak to whoever needs to see them. Hopefully they'll have a cassette recorder. But anyways, that's the long and the short of it. Thank you for letting me go 28 seconds. I'll leave this here until the end.
That's awesome. I love it. Wouldn't that be a cool family project to do? Is your mind going and figuring out how you can do something like that? That'd be fun. For me, I shared with you last week, I have a little place, cupboard thing, that has a lot of food in case there's an emergency. And by the can opener, I have in a bag this book that says The End Times in Chronological Order. So whoever's left behind and is looking for food, they'll find this by the can opener, so that he can open the can and eat on feed on God's word. So think creatively. There, people are going to be left behind. So what can we do who are not left behind yet? What can we do to help them? Because God is still calling people, wooing people to come to him. But in a couple weeks, when we read about the bowl judgments and the midpoint of the tribulation, that's it. There is no more salvation. So we want to do something to get as many people to come to heaven with us. So that's what those martyrs were. They were the people who had come to the Lord after the rapture. They had paid a heavy price, meaning they were beheaded. But they will, God has a special place for them, and we'll see that when we get into the lesson number 5. But God loves people, and he wants them to come to him. Okay, I don't see anything happening. Oh, how can you get saved? Are you ready to get saved? All right, we shared this last week also. If you have not been saved, it's ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe me, anybody around you will attest to that. We are sinners. Each of us have done something that is wrong. And even if we were perfect, because we were born a person, because Adam and Eve sinned, we're carrying that DNA sinful gene. So we have to admit that we have done things that are wrong. And then we believe that Jesus died for those sins on the cross. That's the whole purpose of him coming to the earth, so that he could die. So we just believe in our heart that Jesus came. And then see, we confess that we want him to be Lord of our lives. Is that a simple thing to do? ABC? It's very easy. And that could be something that you could include in your rapture ready box. If you haven't done that, that's what you need to do tonight, because you don't want to be left behind. And then let's talk about the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. The Bible says that John saw 12,000 men from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So we know that they're Jewish. God seals them. I don't know if he takes a seal, you know, puts it on them like that. There's some way that you can identify that these men have been chosen by God, and their whole job is to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And these are Jewish people going to be talking to Jewish people. Most of the church has already been raptured, so we're in heaven. So these men are going out targeting the Jews. So God is still calling people. Even after that, he wants people to come to him. And again, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then there are these two old guys. We don't know exactly who they are, but our best guess is one would be Moses and one would be Elijah. Could be Enoch, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, I think. Anyway, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. Do you remember in the Gospels where Jesus went up on the mountain of transfiguration? Peter, James, and John were with him. They see Jesus in his glorified body, and he's talking to two people. He was talking to Moses and Elijah. So many people believe that these two witnesses, are going to be Moses and Elijah. And what these two guys do is, at the beginning of the tribulation, for 3.5 years, they are in Jerusalem, and they are telling people, repent, come back to God. You know, and the Antichrist now is working his way up through the ranks to become very popular. And people hate these two witnesses. It says that the whole world can see them. And with the technology that we have right now, of course, you know, a live stream, you can see what's going on in the world wherever you are. So the world is seeing and hearing these two men preach. Well, at the end of the 3.5 years, they are finally killed. Here, they are saying, repent, and they're saying, God loves you. At the end of 3.5 years, so midpoint of the tribulation, they're dead, and the Bible says that the people rejoice. They're happy. They have dead witness cards that they're giving to one another. They're making packages and presents. Woohoo! Those guys are not going to bug us anymore because they're dead. We can see their bodies lying in the streets. They give gifts to one another. I mean, how sick is that? But something crazy happens at the end of 3.5 days of lying in the street being dead. Can you guess what God does? He raises them up. And they go up to heaven, and everybody's, oh! Do they get back their presents? I don't know. Hopefully they got a receipt and can go back and exchange them, because they are not dead anymore. The same hour in Jerusalem, there's another earthquake that splits, a tenth of Jerusalem falls. So one out of every 10 buildings, one out of every, there's another earthquake. God is trying to say, wake up, people, wake up. And 7,000 men are killed. So minus 7,000 more people that are killed. So that leaves less than 4 billion people. So to wrap up tonight, we learn that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the only one who could open the scroll. We also saw the seven seal judgments. What was the first one? Seal one? White horse representing the Antichrist. Red horse that represented war. Black horse that represented famine. Pale horse that represented death and Hades. And so those are the four horsemen. Then you have three more. The fifth one was the martyrs under the crystal floor, so to speak. They call it the crystal sea. And then the sixth was great earthquake. Remember the sun, the moon, the earth, the men hiding in caves. They know that that's a doing of God, but they won't give up. And then the seventh seal is silence in heaven for a half hour. All right, we also saw what happened to those who were left behind. We saw the 144,000. And remember, they're sealed. So that means that they cannot die by any means possible. They are sealed by God, and they will stay alive until God calls them up to heaven. And then at last we saw the two witnesses, which are probably Moses and Elijah. All right. So what is our takeaway? Three takeaways. God provides. I would say God provides salvation. He is long-suffering. He's loving. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but all to come to him. And he has provided for us a way to get out of the world while all this stuff is going on. So I'd say, number one, God provides. Number two, God offers salvation. It is still open. People can still come to the Lord, but there will be a time where there is no more salvation. So it's getting closer and closer to the end. And then number three, God is worthy of worship. He is. When we get to heaven, you know, we're not going to turn into a little fat cherub that I don't even know that they have clothes on, sitting on a cloud playing a little harp. No, we are going to be before the throne. We're going to be worshiping God because we love him. We understand that every single thing that he has said in his word is true, and he's given us every possible chance to live with him. And so we're going to be worshiping because God is worthy of worship. And so that's something that you can share, because there's a lot of unsaved people even around you, maybe at work, maybe your neighbors, people, maybe someone in your family. So this week, I would challenge you to take a moment and ask God to be in control of your life and thank him for your salvation, because that's a precious thing to have. Next week, we're going to talk about three woes. And they are doozies, so you don't want to miss that. Seven trumpets, which is the next set of judgments. We will talk about the midpoint of the tribulation, when literally all hell breaks loose. So you want to see that. We're going to see the Antichrist in the new temple. We're going to see people running for their lives, because the Antichrist comes to full power. And there are a lot of people that he's going to target and go after. So memory verse for this week. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is the Philippian jailer. So they said, but let's Say it with me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. And isn't that what we want? We want our household, our children, our grandchildren, the people in our family that we love, we want them to be saved. So let's close first, and then we'll have questions. So see you next week. There's the memory verse, and there's Bluey. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you love us, that you have a plan for us, even as we are ready to meet you in the air. And I pray, God, that we would be ready. We would be looking expectantly, Lord. Help us not to have blinders on our eyes, not to be looking everywhere except towards you, Lord. Help us to laser focus our mind and our thoughts and our actions, Lord, onto you, because you are coming quickly, sooner, Lord, than we ever imagined. We can't say the day. We don't know the day. You don't know the day. But when the Father says, go get your bride, we are out of here. So, Father, thank you for that. And we thank you for this time that we could be in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody have any questions? Okay. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts, the places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Your name. I'm giving up, letting go.